Welcome to Financial Repression Authority's Roundtable Insight, where the best fund managers, economists, and industry leaders discuss the key investment issues and challenges in the current macroeconomic environment.
Hi, welcome to FRA's Roundtable Insight. This is host Richard Benulli. Today is Thursday, May 15th. We have Judd Hirschberg back on the program show. Judd is president at White Wave Trading Strategies, a trading company. He's run various proprietary trading groups and has over 50 years of trading experience. He's developed awesome indicators and a repeatable process-based approach for trading the financial markets. Prior podcasts with Judd have focused on his approach and methodology and also updates on the financial markets. Today, we'd like to understand what Judd is currently seeing in the financial markets as the latest update across different asset classes and jurisdictions. Welcome, Judd.
Thank you, Richard. It's great to be back. Really enjoyed the last few podcasts you've had. A lot's changed since we, I did the charts for you with Ira and Nomi.
Yeah, there's a lot of change, a lot of change. Volatility happening in the market. So maybe we go through the asset classes with an initial focus on the currencies. The yen seems to be driving a lot of this. If you wanted to bring up some charts on the yen.
Okay. Am I on the yen right now, guys? Let me just make sure. Okay. All right. So the yen's been a typical move in the currencies is 8 to 10 figures. And that's what we've been seeing in the yen back and forth. This line, basically 139 and a half, is 50% of the interventions from the 90s. So it's a huge zone. This is what caught it the first time down and completely retraced, 20 figures. Came back down there and retested again 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday. My favorite day to change direction of the week, and another 10 figures. And in here, we dialed down the beginning of the week. I didn't see it that there was any more downside in the yen or upside in dollar yen. I didn't think there was more than 3/4 of a figure left in that. And now we've come all the way back down to the momentum line. So for me, it's just kind of neutral. The pounds, they're really not doing much. Some of the crosses, it's really Euro Aussie today. Where's my Aussie? There it is. This came down to the 200 month. At the same time, the yen came back to that 139 and a half in this reverse. So now it's trying to make up its mind again in some of the crosses. The crosses, are a lot more mixed than some of the straight dollars. And, Ira and Mark Fowler were talking about, the same dollar, which has been strengthening all year. And, it can keep on going. The same buy stops are 127.88.
Yes, that was an interesting discussion with Dr. Mark Farber and Ira on especially the Asian currencies, right? They're showing the Singapore dollar. There's been also reference to movements in the Korean won and also the Taiwan dollar as well, strengthening over the last few weeks.
Yeah, and so is the real. So all these, that whole Pacific Rim and a lot of these commodity currencies have finally picked up. I mean, the Australia's got its own thing going on down there, but I don't think there's much left in the real. It's got to consolidate again. And the stock markets have been going with the stronger dollars over there. You know, as the Sing dollar has appreciated, so is their stock market. Same thing with, Brazil. You know, that seems to be the correlation.
So there seems to be two theories on this, driving this this technical view from a fundamental explanation perspective. One is the idea of either central banks from these countries selling U.S. Treasury bonds, repatriating the funds back in their home currencies, or maybe organizations, companies within those countries doing that. Or it could be maybe part of the tariff negotiations, right? A de facto Plaza Accord 2, whereby instead of having a tariff, they would agree to a currency strengthening. Is there any way to correlate these moves with the bond market, U.S. Treasuries?
Well, I came up, when I got to the screen this morning, I started looking at the bunds. And as the bunds started rallying, every bond market in the world started rallying. All the currencies went bid, and all the stock markets went bid. So everybody, I guess if they're correlating that as the easier rates worldwide, and we're going to do something with ours, and everybody just said risk on, great. But I'm not good enough to figure out what the fundamentals are with this. As for my question after that last podcast to Ira, you tell me who's holding the leash, and I'll tell you what trades to do. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody knows. The one thing that's interesting to me is that even the 30 year, the long end, tried to rally today, but that still isn't rallying anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the long term point and figure in that is a big consolidation pattern here. The 30 year needs over 119 to rally. And if it starts getting under 112, I think they're going to do a pretty good number on the bonds on the long end. And I just don't know what their catalyst is.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger flows, and the easier picks have been off long S&P short gold. This has been the chart of truth. Now, if you go back to this chart, that's from 2011, and that's the swing I used. When we were on that last podcast, and I said that the gold topped against Bitcoin. At the same time it did that, it bottomed against the S&Ps bottomed against gold the same day. That was a Wednesday, and everything turned around and went straight the other way. So the yen lined up, the S&P gold lined up, Bitcoin gold lined up, it all did.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
So, for me, I've got my own biases to this whole administration, and, I'll leave that at the door. So, I'm just trying to stay true to the numbers so I don't get in trouble. And right now, I've been long a lot of Bitcoin. And if Bitcoin can start closing over, my high number here around 106,000, it's going to go again, $20,000-$30,000. So I'm just waiting to get a weekly close over that to add. And if it doesn't, then I won't.
For this trading on Bitcoin, are you looking at specific indicators like gold versus Bitcoin or other types of,
Can you see the chart?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so this is, this was on the 22nd of April. This is when gold really failed against Bitcoin. The April 9th, it came back down. These horizontal lines is the election day, Trump election day. And it never really got long gold, short Bitcoin, never got above that to follow through. And gold failed. So that's when, I viewed what I saw in long S&P short gold, straight Bitcoin, as bullish Bitcoin and bullish risk assets. And so I just bought a lot of Bitcoin. Bitcoin ETFs are on 87,000, 88,000. And I've just been sitting with it.
And also, a lot of people have observed in recent years a correlation between Bitcoin and NASDAQ, but is that still the case, or is there a decoupling happening between the NASDAQ and Bitcoin?
I don't think that's as good of a correlation as the S&Ps. I don't think, just looking at it visually, it's not as good of a correlation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me just do the same swing from, so Bitcoin's only going to go back to 2017. So you're missing a decade worth of data there. So the chart's not going to be as good. You're better off doing it against the S&P or the Dow.
Okay.
And then the only other thing I saw yesterday is in commodity land that piqued my curiosity, and it wasn't the only grain that I really liked, was rice. That I thought put it in a nice bottom for a little bit of a rally. But I'm not sure that's going in. And the rest of the grains to me are just, it's gonna take a little while for this to set up again. This is just a complete lack of interest in trading. I mean, the names have been great, but.
Yeah, like related to the agricultural commodities, are you able to pull up some of the fertilizer equities?
Sure.
Mosaic, CF Holdings, CF Industries, and Nutrien. Yeah, they've had some good rapid rises actually in the last 3 or 4 weeks, especially Mosaic. Take a look at that.
Yeah, let's just go.
Yeah.
It's a huge breakout on the weekly. It's, the monthly is a big breakout last month. It's got just a little bit more to go. And you can see even on the quarterly where, most of the move is already over. And this is going to have to get all new strength to go anywhere. So I'm not interested. You know, this is a place that if you're lying these names, it's a place to take some money. You know, Intrepid Potash looks a little bit better. ConAgra doesn't trade well. You know, ADM held. You know, I don't feel one way or another about that company. CF Industries, you know, has had a great hold this quarter. Let's just dial it back to see what it's going to need. You know, it's probably going to need over 91 to really get going for a whole new bull move. You know, conversely, if you want to buy it in the mid-80s with an alert below 80, I suppose that's fine.
Okay, great. And maybe if we can back up a little on the equities, your powerful indicator, the spool bonds.
Okay, let's take a look at that.
Yeah.
A little too much in the screen. Hold on. Yeah, I mean, the S&P bond spread is just, you know, bit. It's higher on the year. You know, as far as the weekly goes, this is the week it broke down from in February 18th when the entire board fell apart, led by spoo bonds. And now it's come, you know, it's come all the way back up and retested the breakdown level from the week before, February 10th. So, you know, it's just consolidating here and unchanged on the year. And if it starts up, I mean, the swing counts are massive.
Yeah.
And when I put out my S&P swing counts, you know, I'm not sure how we get there because I don't want to buy any type of equity strength up here, but I have much higher targets and everything. That doesn't mean we're going to get there anytime soon. You know, I had a $2,500 gold target. It took four and a half years to get there. And then it started going exponential after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the NASDAQ bonds, you know, are basically the same thing. You know, the chart against the S&Ps was cleaner. But you can see here on the weekly, you know, it's that same weekly breakout of February 18th. We've come all the way back down there. And we're just hovering higher on the year. You know, if this starts up, it's going a lot higher. So right now, as long as we're above, you know, 5840 in the S&Ps, you know, I'm positive. And you still need a weekly close over 59, basically 40. So you got a 100 point range where the S&P is consolidating right now. This is the really long-term point and figure I use. And you can see here, that it's basically got a double top. So you can't buy strength up here. All you can do is if you're long, you have trailing stops on things. Now, some of the guys, you know, from time to time take a bite on the short side and see if they can get something going. And I don't blame them. But, you know, I just think it's going to be a tighter range trade for a little bit. And, you know, and the catalyst, I guess, would seem to would seem to be, what they do here with the budget proposal and the tax proposals working their way through Congress right now. So I really just focused on the long end every day for a signal to tell me to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if you're going to get it, it's going to come, you're going to see it in the yields first.
Yeah, can we take a look at the U.S. 10-year yield? Any thoughts on trends there or potential low points? I know they've been trying to see how low it can go, right? Maybe 3.8% or...
Here's the daily 10-year yield. It's just caught. It's just caught in this range, and that's just a little short term range.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even like looking at stuff like that. I mean, the bigger life of contract stuff, we're not near anything. And we have to start closing over basically 4.8 in the 10-year, and then I think that'll get you almost another full percentage point higher. So can it come back down to 3.4, or is it going to 5.8? So I haven't, I've just been looking at it as a daily barometer for risk. That's all I've been doing with it.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the 5-year today. It looks like the yields want to go lower. And I look at this cloud and I look at the 200 day, and I don't think that's going anywhere. I look at the 30-year futures, momentum is basically, look at this, right here is basically unchanged on the year, the 113.27. I think this is another rally to nowhere. So, it's right now, it's just really hard to pick up the bigger trends,
mm-hmm.
Because you've already had them back and forth. A couple of weeks ago, we had a big alignment in all the spreads, and then you had a huge rebound. And, what's that, almost 15, 18%? I don't want to chase that.
Okay, and what about can we take a look at the international markets, maybe emerging markets, other international markets?
Sure. Let's go through them.
Yeah.
We'll start with the correlates. The EEM, that's usually positive. Indonesia, it's getting into an area where, I don't want to reach for it. Even here on the weekly, you're coming up into unchanged on the year. If they can start getting above 1850, then I suppose that can go again. Chile, is another one straight off the page. Chile needs a vote over 33 to sustain over 33 to go again. And then you get another 10%. Canada's going. Switzerland looks okay. Singapore looks terrific. I mean, you've got an ORH quarter plus a quarterly cloud breakout in this. You know, that's a really nice pattern. You want to buy any hard break you get in that.
Yeah, the Asian markets, you could get a double whammy with the currency strengthening as well.
Now, Australia's just hanging in there. You know, Germany, you know, we've been talking about this for a long time. Germany's been outperforming the U.S. for the last 5 months. And it's been led by Deutsche Bank, which just hit its, you know, I think I sent Ira a note about 5 months ago and told him I was looking for 28 in Deutsche Bank. So we got there today. Spain is a little rich. Mexico's, you know, it's still got room. Hong Kong. Taiwan.
Yeah, how does Hong Kong look? Yeah.
You know, let's just dial back through the, you know, on the, look at the quarterly. It looks fabulous. Mm-hmm. You know where you're wrong. It starts getting back below, 18 and a half. Basically, you give yourself an 1785 alert on Hong Kong. Because if it gets put back below 1785 close, something else is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Taiwan looks good. You know, it's EWJ ETF Japan. That's positive. Is that? I'm not sure if that's the hedge ETF or not. You know, Brazil's consolidating. You know, Italy's already gone. South Korea, this is the one you don't want to chase. Because it's right in the quarterly momentum.
Mm.
You know, there's a big low right up into its first big objective area. This is going to be a huge momentum hurdle, right around $59. Poland's breaking out. That's a new high, I think. So, let me just... Yeah, that's basically took out the 2018 high. So if you want a short-term stop, you're using, basically $30 there. Starts rolling back below $30, you don't want to have anything to do with it. Israel looks good. Look at this one. Yeah. The PowerShares India portfolio. It's really a nice pattern. You're looking for 27 and a half in that for a start. Small cap India. It's right. This green line is like a 50% area. So this is resistance the first time up. If it starts taking it out, then, you know, it'll go another $3.5 unchanged on the year. Colombia, don't want to chase that. Let's see. The quarterly looks good. Yeah. You're just going to have to wait this out a little bit.
Okay.
Argentina, you know, that's just rocking.
Yeah.
You know, and I have been out of pocket the last couple of weeks, so a lot of these charts I haven't looked at, you know, because it usually takes me, a week or so to get back into the swing of things, catch up on all my work. Vietnam's trying to break out. That's close. Really looks like it needs to sustain over 13. Shanghai comp is sideways. China doesn't do much for me. Nor does Saudi Arabia. Turkey's just, that thing's just flatlined. You don't want to get involved in that. The Philippines, if you have resistance, you're going to have to wait that thing out. And the Latin America ETF, what is this? Are these all prisons in this ETF? Just kidding.
No.
All right.
Yeah, interesting. And how about we take a look at like gold, platinum by themselves, but also in relation to other commodities. You know, there's a saying in technical analysis, the gold prices will precede overall commodity prices. If gold prices go higher, that portends higher commodity prices in general. Is that beginning to be seen, given the run-up in gold?
You know, everybody's been trying to read something in the platinum and silver.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just not seeing it.
Mm.
You know, I would just focus on the gold and Bitcoin and forget about the platinum. And there's platinum yen, so if you're going to get demand, you know, this is the game right here, long platinum, short yen. You know, that's what you want to see. Platinum copper is doing nothing. Platinum's rolling over against gold again. Yeah, I don't want to have anything to do with platinum. Just from a technical standpoint, looking at it, it's not the one that's leading, and it's not the one, you know.
You have higher targets for gold?
Oh, yeah, 4,300.
Wow.
Yeah. But again, you know, that's a swing off of 1969, which is the low of 1969 was $34.95. So basically, gold was, you know, for the decades before, it was basically, you know, just pegged at $35. So that's a swing. That tonight to the 1980 on an exponential chart. That's eventually where it wants to go.
Can you show that? I think yeah, we're still on the platinum. Yeah.
I got rid of those cash charts, and I'll show it to you.
Meet the Cedar Owl, a new economics and finance publication with a focus on environmentalism. We combine the Austrian School of Economics and market environmentalism principles for investing in a sustainable future. Follow the link in the description to get to know the Cedar Owl better, understand our values, our mission, exactly where we're coming from, and the type of content that we release on a cyclical basis every Thursday. Join us in targeting outperforming portfolio returns while making a positive impact on society and the environment through technology. Subscribe now for weekly insights, investment articles, and exclusive content.
So, things. All right. So, for the horizontal line, basically, close enough. this. I gotta make sure I'm looking at the right chart. Because that's not the low I was using, which was $10. So here, even if I use this, I think what it is, I have to have
it. Was it like 35?
Hold on, I just had a little chart.
Okay.
Let me just look at it. Well, okay. So the swing, is this swing here.
Oh, yeah, 800. Yeah.
Okay. Now, in order to see this exponentially, you have to go to a log chart. Let's see. Let me try it again. There we go. All right. So this isn't quite the right low, but it's close enough. I'm not sure why this is not giving me the right price. It's not giving me the right low. I have to get my cash charts again, but the swing was $4,300.
Okay.
And I know I put that chart out before. See, I had it, and then I got cheap.
618 Fibonacci.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the extensions from 19. The swing you want is the extension from the 1969 low to the 1980 high, and look at that Fibonacci extension on a log chart, and that gives you the levels.
Okay.
So the first one, you know, on this chart, this isn't a cash chart. This is a futures chart. Came in at, you know, the 33 and change.
Yeah.
And that's why I said we were in the ballpark up there. The first time up, it stopped at, 3,000, backed off. Then it went up to the next one. But it's really following that cash chart, which has much higher targets.
I see.
So, you know, let me just take in this other screen for a second. Or hold on. I can take it this one. All the gold has been doing nothing but trading off. This is a 2-year channel line right here in Golden Euro.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see when I went to the top of the channel line here and broke a couple $100, and then it came back up and 2 weeks ago and stuck its head up there again and broke again. So I did this off the cash charts, and it was very clear what it was going to do. You know, here it broke, came back and consolidated for a while, came back to the bottom of the channel line, and then took off again. You know, and it's been following this for a couple of years. And every time it gets to the top of the channel line, it backs off. Golden yuan, golden yen, they all kind of look the same. Now, you know, and then I try to define it a little bit with my long-term point and figures. And, you know, I've got an area that I want to, you know, buy in closer to 30, 60, 30, 70, somewhere down in there. And we, you know, we didn't get there. David had some stuff, you know, just below 3,100 on his work. And he and I tend to, you know, really hone in to see where we have convergence on our work. And now, you know, you had a nice, this wasn't anywhere in particular for me this morning, but now we've come all the way back to resistance again. So there's no buying here. You know, it's another exit zone. And I think that the gold is going to keep swinging in these $50 to $70 moves back and forth. And it might take until August to put in the ultimate bottom in gold.
Yes, sir. Interesting. And maybe, is it okay to take a look at energy like oil and gas, maybe also uranium?
Yeah, uranium, yeah. I think I put out a trailing stop on that yesterday, because that was a really good call off that podcast, especially since it was bottoming. You know, this was the podcast day right there.
Okay.
That was a Wednesday, and it started being an ORH day while we're on the podcast, and that's why I kept circling it.
Okay.
Because it was just out and out screaming by. You know, now it's come all the way up to the bottom of the weekly cloud.
Mm.
You know, $28. That's really good resistance. So, you know, you know, this can definitely settle back again and set up again. It's just not going to, I don't see it rallying from this rally.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's been an enormous move.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful one because we were on the podcast, and if your people don't think they're getting anything actionable, they're wrong, because that was happening real time when it was when it was going on.
Yep.
So I like that. You know, but now I think you have to lock in a bunch of money in the trade.
Mm-hmm.
What else were we looking at?
So this would be the miners. This is the miners, right? Uranium ETF miners.
Campco did this, you know. It followed the URA ETF. It was the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got the exact same pattern, except this actually looks better than the ETF.
And are you able to look at the actual commodity with the Sprott Trust on uranium? U.UN. Not sure which one you have.
It's somewhere.
There's one for Canada, one for U.S.
You know, because I pulled it up a few weeks ago during that podcast.
I said
I kept going through trying to figure out what she was looking at, and she was using the Camco site for all her data.
I said,
so
okay, maybe we can end on the oil and gas energy.
There's crude. You know, yesterday I thought that was it in crude. It went right up to momentum and just stopped. And, you know, and I don't know how much of that rally was, you know, just Trump going over to Saudi Arabia and Qatar.
Okay.
You know, and then as soon as he got on the plane for his next leg of the journey, you know, it just faded. The long-term point, and it's nowhere. I mean, the oil's really nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the long-term point and figure, you know, I wanted to buy it at what, 53.60, and never got down that low, which was you know, one of these life of contract Fibonacci numbers that really jams everybody for 10, 15% the other way. You know, and for it to go anywhere to the upside, you know, it needs to sustain over like 67 and a quarter. And if it starts taking out 56 again, you'll probably see that 53 area.
Yeah.
So, and with crude, you better know which chart you're looking at, because they're both going to look different. So if you look at a daily continuation, right, I'm going to show it to you. Let me get this one. If you look at a daily continuation, you get the negative 40 print in oil. Okay? That's the one you want. There are two swings. There's this swing, and you can see where the 5347 level is 50% of the life of oil. And that was the $40 inversion. Now, you want to look at both charts. So, you know, you're looking at crude. You also want to look at, if you go to the active, okay, let me get that. You can see off of this chart, you're going to get a totally different fit, okay? Because that low was $6.50. That was the low deliverable oil price at $6.50. But the real chart went negative 40. So I'm looking at the negative 40 because I think that's the chart that oil is following. So if it gets down to 53 and a half, you know, you can buy it there, 25, 30 cents stop. I think you make $10, $15.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's a trade back and forth.
I see. And lastly, any views on nat gas?
Well, let's just take a look at the main driver there. You know, it's you have to really take a look at the crude natty spread.
Yeah.
To get an idea where it's starting and stopping. So if I'm trading crude or I'm trading natty outright, I want to take a look at this and see if it's anywhere where one leg's going to get me in trouble. You know, today it's, you know, long crude, short nat gas. But as you can see, it's coming up to this midpoint line where I don't want to have anything to do with it. And if I'm just looking at straight natty, you know, that looks like it wants to go lower to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that's, you know, and the names are a whole nother animal.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to trade the names off their own technicals and not off of the underlying at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you like a name and you get a, you know, a big pop in the price of oil, you know, then you'll get a little turbo charge on the name, but I don't want to conflate the two. I think you have to independently look at it.
Okay. Okay, great. It's been insightful, very revealing on these indicators and correlations, how things are happening, whether they're being, they're leading or in synchronous. Your final thoughts, Judge, and also how can our listeners and viewers learn more about your work and they can get a free trial subscription also?
Sure. Just go to whitewavetradingstrategies.com and put in your name and email, and you'll get on my list. And you can join the room for a month and get whatever I write for a month. And you'll get definitely an alternative view on anything you've ever heard out of Wall Street.
Yeah. That's certainly so. Yeah, great. Thank you so much, Jed. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Richard.
Yeah.
The FRA Roundtable Insight Show is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the show each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Any discussions among the panel participants or responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the panel participants and do not take into consideration the listener's suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Please be advised that you invest or speculate at your own risk.